Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, thank you for downloading today's podcast. Hope you're okay on Thursday, March 12th. We've got plenty of news to get through today, including the sentencing of a Rochester man who's become the first e-bike rider to be convicted of manslaughter.
It is a historic judgment. For the first time in British legal history, a cyclist has been convicted of manslaughter for killing another human being.
A young widow hoping to help others who lose their partners.
I suppose I want to show people that if I can do this, than anybody can.
And relief for a Kent Animal Sanctuary owner as court action against her is dropped.
A relief, massive relief from something that has been going on for such a long time, for 5 years.
We'll bring you all of that in just a moment, so stay listening. But first, taking a look at our top story for today. South East Water say they won't be able to meet the demand for drinking water from new houses set to be built in Tunbridge and Morling. The council's local planner set a house building target of more than 19,000 properties before 2042. However, a consultation with the water company found they can't accommodate growth on that scale. Nicola's been speaking to Greens councillor Mark Hood.
The local plan, we've been given a target of 19,602 homes to build by 2042. And the council's gone to South East Water to ask them what their capacity is going to be, how they're going to be placed to service all these new homes. And South East Water have come back and they've said, well, we weren't expecting to supply anywhere near that amount of homes, and we're not, our water management resources plan isn't going to be anywhere near that level. So the serious undercapacity issues that they're flagging up now, and we're thankful that they are flagging their concerns up now as well.
I mean, some may argue after what we saw before Christmas that they can't always guarantee supplies going to existing homes, let alone any new ones. But how much of a concern is this? Because the government says that local authorities have to build these number of properties. I mean, what can be done about the situation?
Well, I think the government are in denial. They've hiked up the housing targets for all councils, and it seems that they don't understand that Kent hasn't got the resources. The southeast of England is water stressed, and we haven't got enough reservoirs. Most of the water in Kent comes from aquifers, and the reservoirs we have got actually supply Surrey and Sussex. So we've got a real problem. We're sleepwalking into a water crisis here, and the government needs to wake up. And we've suggested that they make water companies statutory consultees in the same way that the Environment Agency are and Kent Highways are, so that we know that when developers come forward with their plans, the extra burden on the local water system, not only for clean water but for foul water in terms of sewage, that there's capacity in the system, because we can't take risks with this kind of thing. We're looking at as if we were in big trouble.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, an e-bike rider who killed an elderly man while riding on the pavement in Rochester has avoided prison. Clifford Cage admitted manslaughter following the death of 91-year-old James Blackwood on City Way in July 2023. The 50-year-old, who lives in the Fairway, has been given a suspended sentence in order to do unpaid work. James's daughter Christine spoke outside court following the sentencing.
I don't want to be doing this. I would rather be spending time with my father, who was so unfairly and cruelly taken away from us before his time. But for every action, there is a reaction. And today we have seen the reaction of our justice system that has convicted and punished Mr. Cage for the crime of manslaughter. It is a historic judgment. For the first time in British legal history, a cyclist has been convicted of manslaughter for killing another human being. It's all the more poignant for my family and me, of course. Every day we make decisions, and those decisions have an impact on our lives. When Mr. Cage decided, for whatever reason, to ride his bicycle on the pavement, he made a decision to break the law. He must now live with and deal with the consequences of that decision for the rest of his life, as sadly must we. But the judgment and sentence of the court has a wider impact that will and should affect every cyclist in the UK. No longer can cyclists decide that they can leave the road and ride on our pavements, endangering pedestrians with impunity. and the message needs to get out there and into the public consciousness. Everyone has to realise that it is illegal to go off-road and that illegality will be punished. With the introduction of electric bikes, walking along our pavements and through our public spaces has become dangerous to the point of becoming a lottery. Deciding to go for a walk or to go shopping should not make one a potential victim of a vehicle which cannot be heard as it approaches. And we have seen some modified illegal e-bikes capable of reaching up to 80 mile an hour, essentially becoming motorcycles. With the Crime and Policing Bill 2026 soon becoming law, I'm hoping this may encourage the unsafe cyclists to think twice about their journeys. Please plan your ride so you don't endanger other people, and please make our streets safer for everyone. And do not cycle or ride e-scooters on pavements or in pedestrian areas. E-bikes are powerful vehicles, and I would call upon the government to rethink the minimum age of those allowed to ride them. Most 14-year-olds have likely never read the Highway Code, yet can be let loose on public roads with possibly zero road experience or knowledge. In my opinion, there should be some training involved, with possibly a licence for cyclists who don't have a driving licence, as well as raising the minimum age from 14 to 16. I would like to finish by saying that I hope no one else has to lose a loved one and go through the pain and heartache that my family and I have due to a selfish cyclist's actions. Thank you.
Audio from the 999 call Cage made after the crash has also been released. A warning though, some listeners might find it distressing.
Ambulance service, is the patient breathing?
Yes, I'm on it. I'm hit him with my push bike. Okay. I didn't see the guy. He just stepped out from behind.
All right, is he
awake? He's sort of coherent, yeah.
So,
don't move, sir. Just stay there, mate.
Can you ask him where he's hurt?
Are you hurt, mate, if he wants to know? He's not speaking, love.
Okay.
Stay still, please. Don't move, mate, in case you hurt yourself.
Do you know the postcode of where you are? Or can you see a house number that you're outside of?
I'm on City Way in Rochester. I'm just trying to stop him from trying to get up.
No, that's right, don't worry.
I didn't see him. He's throwing me right off my bike into the wall. Please don't move, mate. They're on their way now.
Nothing fell on him at all.
No, just the bike and me went straight into him.
Elsewhere, a man's died following reports of a medical incident at a park in Canterbury. A screen was put up next to the toilet block at Toddler's Cove off Whitehall Road yesterday. A man in his 40s was confirmed to have died. It's not being treated as suspicious. Two men have suffered stab wounds following reports of an attack near the headquarters of Kent County Council. Police and paramedics were called to County Hall in Maidstone at around 3:30 yesterday afternoon. The men in their 20s have been taken to hospital for treatment. A Margate man has been jailed after being found guilty of carrying out historic sexual abuse crimes. A court heard the abuse started in 1990 and continued over a 7-year period. Edward Watson was charged with 12 offences. The 49-year-old, who used to live at Garrard Avenue, denied the allegations. He's been locked up for 4 years and will remain on the sex offenders register for life. A Gravesend man accused of carrying out sex attacks on a child has been locked up. He's appeared at the Old Bailey in London, charged with 10 offences said to have taken place between 2019 and 2020. The 34-year-old has been sentenced to 15 years and must serve at least 10 before being eligible for parole. Three men have been charged after £50,000 worth of phones was stolen during a raid on a shop in Sittingbourne. The group threatened staff at the store in the Forum Shopping Centre before stealing the goods and fleeing. A 23-year-old man from Gillingham was later arrested and charged. He's been jailed for 2 years and 3 months. Two other men, both from London, failed to attend trial. A warrant has been issued for their arrest. The victim of a knife point raid in Folkestone has been jailed after police found his stash of cocaine. Morgan Carter was threatened and robbed at his home on Furze Lane in December last year. When officers arrived, they smelled cannabis. Following a search, they discovered he was also involved in drug dealing. The 25-year-old has been locked up for 2.5 years.
Kent Online News.
A Kent man whose mum and stepdad are being held prisoner in Iran is due to have talks in Washington today. Lindsay and Craig Fullman are serving a 10-year sentence for spying, which they deny after they were detained during a motorbike tour around the world in January last year. Joe Bennett has taken his campaign to free them to the US amid concerns for their safety during the current conflict. Bosses in Medway have approved £4.6 million worth of crisis support schemes for low-income households. The money comes from the government's Crisis and Resilience Fund and will be spent over the next 3 years. It'll go towards things like English and maths lessons and a community supermarket to reduce reliance on food banks. A former Reform UK county councillor has joined the Conservatives. Bill Barrett was expelled from Reform last autumn for allegedly bringing the party into disrepute. It brings the total number of Tories at County Hall to six. Now, the owner of a Kent animal sanctuary has told us she's relieved court action against her has now been dropped. Swale Borough Council alleged Happy Pants Ranch in Bobbing near Sittingbourne had failed to comply with a noise abatement order. It was served after neighbours reported disturbance from the animals living at the site. However, the bench dismissed the case halfway through due to a lack of evidence. Founder of Happy Pants Ranch, Amy James, spoke to our reporter Alan Smith outside court.
How does it feel to get the result that you have?
I'm almost speechless, like a relief, massive relief from something that has been going on for such a long time, for 5 years. It's such a relief that this part has hopefully now come to an end.
Are you still facing eviction?
We are, and we're still fighting that. We're still appealing it. Well, not appealing it, but we're working with the council to put new plans in. So that's the next chapter we have to move on to. So it's definitely not over, obviously, by far in the whole scheme of things. It's just this part is hopefully done and dusted.
Kent Online News.
A car park popular with people visiting the White Cliffs of Dover will be locked overnight following a surge in antisocial behaviour. The restrictions have been introduced at the Langdon Cliffs site by the National Trust. They say it's to protect and care for nature and visitors. Figures show the number of potholes reported in Kent has more than doubled in a year. 7,200 were logged in January. The increase in damaged roads has been blamed on the bad weather. There are plans to sell off a former secondary school near Dartford as bosses say it's surplus to requirement. The Oasis Academy Hextable site in Edgerton Avenue closed back in 2016 after originally being built in the 70s. Kent County Council have put forward a notice to dispose of the land despite a campaign locally to try and bring it back into use. Residents have raised concerns about plans to build more than 200 council homes near Ashford Town Centre. Bosses have unveiled proposals to redevelop the former Civic Centre site in Tannery Lane and the neighbouring Kent Wool Growers plot. Some of the people we've spoken to say the scheme should include a new school and GP surgery to limit the pressure on local services.
Kent Online News.
A Kent mum whose husband died while scuba diving is hoping a book about her experience with grief will help others. Ben Moss from Faversham failed to resurface during a trip near Dover 8 years ago. Rosie has gone on to host an award-winning podcast about being a young widow with three children. She caught up with Nicola.
All of this success, all of this excitement and new opportunities, they wouldn't exist if my husband was still alive. And there is a real significance to today's date as well. It's the 12th of March, which is 8 years to the day since he died. And I really struggled with, should I do the book on this day? But it felt right. And it felt symbolic, you know, of the last 8 years. And it's all the trauma because, yeah, you know, enormous trauma that's led to this. And I suppose I want to show people that if I can do this, than anybody can, you know, that you can get through the most awful thing that happens to you.
And of course, you were navigating all of this with three small children as well. Tell us how they feel about you, what you've done, and how you've been able to share your story and your hints and tips and talking about grief. They must be incredibly proud of their mum.
Yeah, do you know what? They are. And I'm very lucky because my kids tell me that. And I know a lot of mums out there, we never get to hear that they're proud of us. And most mums and dads and carers, we're all doing the best we can with the hand we've been dealt. But yeah, the kids are incredibly proud of me. You know, they've gone into school clutching copies of the book and they you know, they want to tell their friends, which I think is really quite sweet, especially because two of them are teenagers.
So Rosie, tell us a bit about the book. When did you first start to think, do you know what? I've got so much going on. I want to write all this down. I want to write down how I'm feeling, how others might be feeling. And I mean, it's not really a self-help book as such, but it will help a lot of people. When did you think I need to get this on paper?
So I just studied journalism at university. I've always liked writing. My mum used to make me these little tiny books and I was always writing little miniature books and things as a child. So I've always wanted to write. However, as many people who have been through significant trauma will probably relate to, putting pen to paper metaphorically, is quite difficult when your brain is processing so much else. And so I kind of had it in the back of my mind that one day I would like to do something like this. But I foolishly, it seems, thought, oh, podcasting, that's an easier way to do this. Silly me. 3 years later, I realised I had this wealth, this kind of bank of knowledge, of research, because to my knowledge, and I'm prepared to be corrected, nobody else has ever done this, has spoken to hundreds of widowed people about the unique experience of losing your partner. So I guess there was an element of almost a moral obligation here to share this information. And so the book, it is part memoir. It tells my story, of course it does, but it also kind of intertwines with other people's stories. So there's a chapter called, you know, where on how to cope if your partner dies from drugs and alcohol, a really kind of unique and very isolating death. And it didn't happen to me personally, but because of what I've done through the podcast, I was able to speak about it and use stories that I've been told. So it's really a kind of a love letter to the widowed, and I suppose I want it to be like a little beacon in the dark for people. And it sounds a bit cliche, but I want it to be the book that I needed. And there's a reason that it's bright pink. There's a reason there's a swear word on the front of it, because I wanted it to stand out. I wanted it to reach people like me that were kind of sick of feathers and robins and all the traditional signs of grief, because that's not how I felt represented when I was widowed.
From all of the people that you've spoken to, all the wonderful guests that you've had on your podcast and how you've been able to use their stories, what do you think has been the biggest thing that you've learnt from them throughout this whole process?
I think for me personally, it's been the sense of being less alone. And I think when you are widowed, and particularly if you're widowed young like I was, there's nobody else like you out there. And you really need to find this sense of tribe and community. So through the podcast, that's kind of what I've done. I've listened to stories that have shocked me, that have made me cry, that, you know, they've broken my heart. But the underlying thread that runs through each and every story, no matter how different they are, and they are, they're as different as fingerprints, no two deaths are the same, is this choice, this really big choice. And you have to, it sounds very simple, but you have to make a choice to keep going. And I don't mean, you know, that you literally stop and you do nothing, because for most of us, that's sadly not an option. But it's whether or not you choose to kind of embrace the life you've got left. And in those early days, if someone had said to me, you've got to embrace what you've got left, I probably would have, you know. But actually, it's true. You know, we haven't got the life that we were promised, the life we expected, the life we wanted, but we do still have a good life. And I think it's really important that people are aware that, yes, it is the end of everything as you know it, but it's not the end of everything.
What would your husband think of all of this, Rosie? What would he be thinking and what would he be saying to you?
Do you know what? I think about this a lot, because Ben was my biggest advocate and supporter. And we led quite traditional roles. I gave up work when we had the children and I stayed at home. And I always did bits and pieces. You know, I was working as a swimming teacher when he died. But I just think he would be incredibly proud that I've used the skills that I perhaps had but laid very dormant for a long time, and the joy that it's brought me. And for me to say joy out of hosting a widow podcast and, you know, everything around grief, but it brings me enormous joy. I've met some incredible people, and I think he would just be so proud that I have found a way to bring joy back into not only my life, but my children's life. And, you know, I try not to kind of kind of do the, oh, what would Ben want, and, you know, throughout my life, because I think that can be quite damaging as well. But there are some times when I can feel him, not literally, I'm not cracked completely yet, but I can feel, you know, his energy and what he would think. And yeah, he'd be incredibly proud of me. And I wish, you know, I'd give all of this up for him. Of course I would. And it feels very strange that I won't have him with me tonight at the party, because that's the person that really should be there.
The Ramsgate mum of a boy with a severe neurological condition has welcomed a new drugs trial. 8-year-old Ralph has Dravet syndrome, a rare form of epilepsy which affects one in every 15,000 babies in the UK. A new drug has seen seizures drop by up to 90%. Mum Hayley says the future is moving in the right direction. Work's been carried out at a play park in Sevenoaks that was targeted by vandals. £25,000 has been spent on new equipment at Buckhurst Lane behind the leisure centre. centre. Bosses say it'll enhance the safety and enjoyment of the area by Knoll Park. And a scheme to recycle used inhalers is expanding across Kent and Medway. It started in the east of the county to cut down on waste from the metal canisters, plastic parts and remaining gases. Patients can drop off their old inhalers at pharmacies, GP surgeries and hospitals. More than 115,000 have been recycled already. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.